I want to tell you that I really like Micah. I appreciate the 4 years that we've had him here. He's a great player.
You can have the boat or the mystery box.
We not only gives us 4 first-round picks over the next 2 years. Nothing says we can't use some of those picks right now to go get somebody right now.
A boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. You know how much we've wanted one of those.
Yes, Family Guy. And Jerry Jones, very appropriate off the press conference yesterday where they announced that Jerry Jones wants to stop the run. And Micah Parsons on his way to Green Bay. He's there. He signs a huge extension, and the offseason is complete now. All the hold-ins worked. Next year, I want to remember that.
They yeah.
All worked.
Including James Cook?
Right. That's right. Sure. I mean, you could say, well, who knows if it made a difference. The point is, everybody that held in got an extension. Nobody was forced to sit out games.
Yeah.
Nobody got really hardballed here. So next year, when we get to 4 or 5 players holding in, I'm going to lean back on this year if I remember to and say everybody else got their deals. So these, I'd expect more of them. Bean even right. on Hard Knocks saying, was it Hard Knocks where he said it? Where the hold in's kind of nice because the guy's here. He's going to meet.
I think he said that on Hard Knocks.
This appears to be a effective route to take, and your GMs don't get too mad. And if they do, they trade you to Green Bay.
So, right, I was going to say, that was the one where it was probably going to go into the season.
Didn't it feel like it was the least likely that the player would actually leave the team?
Definitely. I thought Hendrickson was the most likely. I would have never thought Parsons would actually get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is what they do, right? Like, the history tells you they waited on Dak. They waited forever on Dak. I mean, they franchise tagged him twice. That would be 3 years further out than where they are with Parsons right now, right?
Yeah.
That is, he played on the final year of his contract, then they franchise tagged him, then they franchise tagged him again. I think they may have paid him before that year. Parsons gets traded. Like, I would have thought, they're just playing games. This is what they do. They did with CeeDee Lamb, too. They wait to the end, they'll pay extra because of it, and he'll play this year on the final year of his deal, and then they'll threaten the franchise tag, and then they'll extend him and pay him $50 million next year. I never thought they would actually trade him. Because, again, like, part of my confusion is just, what do they want to be? And I guess what you're hearing from Jerry Jones there is he legitimately thinks that he's going to win with this formula. Adding a defensive tackle, stopping the run. He seems to think, from that clip, he's going to have the ability somewhere to trade these first-round picks and go get something that's going to help you right now when we just went through it. All the guys that were worth first-round picks have signed. So it's over. You can't go get, I mean, maybe they can go get Trey Hendrickson today. They can't go get Terry McLaurin today. They can't go get James Cook. They can't go get Myles Garrett or TJ Watt. There's nobody out there that they're going to trade a first-round pick for. So I don't know who he thinks he's acquiring.
Right, especially now. 803-0550. Jealous of the Packers here on the Parsons trade? You want to give us a thought on the Bills and the Parsons trade? You can. The other side of this, a little Friday topic for you. What's the most upset you've ever been at a trade? Because a lot of what was going around in Dallas yesterday was Luka Doncic and then Micah Parsons. The Stars even tweeted out, don't worry, Mika Rantanen is still on the team, which was very funny. Which gets us to, what's the most upset you've ever been about a player going out in a trade? Think about that for a minute. Give us a call. And you want to make a Buffalo sports history, you're a Yankee fan, whatever. It's the most upset you've ever been about a trade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also the version of it where, you know, you're 8 years old and you learn that players can get traded.
That, yeah.
I had that one with Lenny Dykstra. But the most upset I've ever been about a Sabre or a Bill being traded away. I mean, Diggs last year was a shock. Shock. Yep. And I didn't love it. But a second round pick was somewhat easy to square. And also, right when they did it, we thought they might go out and get like Brandon Ayuk or something. But That's more. There's more to that age and role in the offense. You know, there's a lot to that one. I don't know if that's the most upset I've been about a player traded away. I'm trying to think of who it is. I've been sitting here, Joe, for 25 years. So, is it 25? No, 20. Anyway, who even knows anymore? The most upset.
Jason
Peters. Are you mad about that? Are you mad?
Yeah.
Are you mad when
I was mad when Takiyo Spikes got traded because he was one of my favorites as a kid. That's a lot of it, right, is who did you love growing up that got traded away?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. I mean, for me, on the hockey side, it was Brian Campbell. I love Brian Campbell. What, like, second favorite Sabre, second favorite athlete maybe growing up. Loved him.
He cried.
And he was upset too. I'm sure that did not help being upset about it. I had his jersey. Like, he might have been my first real jersey. Honestly, was a Brian Campbell slug jersey.
Yeah, that was at a time where the Sabres were just literally unwilling to pay market rates.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Right, like that's the other thing. He was still very good. They were supposed to still be trying to be good, and then he got traded away for like picks. Right, so that one was tough for me.
Bernier,
I'm 12.
Isn't that Big Bear Bernier in a pick?
That's right. Okay, so maybe that actually helped. Within a week, like, hey, the new guy showed up and was awesome for one game, at least. I don't know if it was more than that.
I think the pick ended up being Ennis.
All right, well, that turned out okay. Still, I was devastated when they
traded him. Most upset I've ever been about a trade. Who have the Bills traded away over the years? Peerless Price? That got a first-round pick?
The best players they've traded away would include, I mean, it's Diggs, and it's you went back to Jason Peters. In between that... they traded Tyrod away. That ain't it.
Sammy Watkins, there's an answer.
All right,
you might have liked Sammy an awful lot and thought it was really early to bail on that. Looking back, that's fine.
I mean, who's the guy that was great? Let's revisit Watkins.
Watkins was a fourth overall pick at receiver.
Yeah,
and they got out of that early.
But the whole thing was annoying, right? Like him always being injured, and how good is he really? Yeah. And you got him, and now we don't have the quarterback, so what are you doing here? And
yeah.
I don't know. I wonder how, like, because Parsons, I'm sure, was beloved by fans. And I know there's going to be nothing Buffalo-wise that compares to that. But, I mean, Watkins maybe polarizing, right? But he wasn't, like, beloved.
No.
The way that I'm sure you're going to have more examples, I think, of the Sabres with this because there were more Sabres that won, right? Vanek getting traded away. I'm sure, like, I don't remember me being brokenhearted about that, but I'm sure there were fans that grew up with him being great.
Miller.
Watched him in the playoffs. I mean, Miller, too.
Yeah, those trades.
That would have broke your heart.
See, that was tough because at that time I wanted those trades to happen because I thought they needed to.
Yeah.
You got yourself in that spot by making other trades like the Campbell trade and losing Breer and Drury.
That's where the Peters trade, Jason Peters, might be the closest to Parsons for what we have, where the guy is a great player and you can't really come up with any good reason why they should have done it.
Right.
Because like there, Vanek, Miller, Pominville, those guys are beloved. They were still all really good players. But there was like a defense for doing it, for sure. Like, this is the direction they got to go. Repaying them now doesn't make a ton of sense. Maybe that's where the Campbell trade, you know, hit me hard, too. But, like, Jason Peters is, this guy is great, and you should just pay him. And that is exactly, I think, what Cowboys fans are waking up today saying is, what was the defense for doing this?
Yeah.
He's amazing. He was young. We're trying to win. It's kind of that for that, it's the Luka trade. That fan base, having that happen to them twice within a year of why are we doing this? So that we can get a power forward and we could get a defensive tackle? Just that would drive me nuts. And I don't have a lot of comparables here for that.
803-0550. Got some tweets in, some answers, and some throwback names. Anthony writes in, I feel like I can say Patrick Mahomes. You could, if you really wanted him, and they're on the clock, you get to... That's the thing, Joe. Some of these are going to be, I was mad at the time, and it turned out it didn't make any difference. And then there's, I was mad at the time, and looking back, I was right. Because you might have been right about, here's one, like Aaron writes in, Lee Evans for me. Suffered through the Losman years, never complained, right? We finally get a worthy receiver on the other side, and Stevie, we trade away Evans. They trade away Evans, and the idea was he had lost a step. He goes to Baltimore, and what happens after that?
Like, he can do anything.
He's kind of done quickly as a drop in an important playoff game or a tough catch that he doesn't come up with.
Like, he had 74 yards after leaving the Bills.
Right. So at the time, I'm mad. What happened? Well, it's pretty much over from there.
Right.
Okay. Versus another one where if you are someone that really wanted Mahomes and they trade out of that spot, you've been mad about it since, and then they get Josh, and it's much easier to take. Andrew writes in, Stu Barnes getting traded to Dallas.
Okay.
Jay writes in, Ryan O'Reilly.
Hmm.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
On the Peters trade, which you said, like, what was the defense of it? If I remember, the reason they traded Jason Peters is because he, I mean, it's kind of like Parsons. He was unbelievably grossly underpaid, and the Bills at the time, I think, had a policy of not renegotiating contracts that weren't in their final year. It came down to they didn't want it. Sorry, we don't do that. We'll trade you to the Eagles. Okay.
I mean, that's brutal, right?
It's tough. More names on this.
That's the closest thing for this situation that I think I've got.
There, of course, the Sabres bring with them in this conversation about the trades that made you the most upset for a player leaving. I mean, the Sabres, they don't exactly have...
Hashik?
Well, I was going to say, that falls in line here. They don't exactly have Cowboys vibes because the Cowboys, while they don't win big, they do compete regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabres, this is kind of a little bit of the franchise identity. Hasek left. Pekka, right?
Everybody.
Everybody leaves. Everybody gets traded. Captains
right. Name their best player that ended their career here. Go ahead. I'll give you an hour to figure it out. Since Perreault. Who's the best player they've had to end their career here? You ain't going to find one. Craig Anderson had a send-off. There you go.
He's a nice player. Dave on a cell phone. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hi. You know, I guess I'm really glad that the Bills didn't do something like get Micah Parsons and have to lock up $47 million in one player. I think the way that, you know, Brandon Bean is doing it is preferable because that's a large fraction of your salary cap to tie up in one position, even though he is that great.
Well, I would say I'm not sure Brandon Bean would be happy about it. He flat out said on Bussin' with the Boys, if he could add any player in the league, it would be Myles Garrett, who just signed for $40 million.
Right.
So I think Bean would pay it. And, yeah, I don't know.
That would be as to say that if Joey Bosa had 20 sacks this year and just stayed healthy and was a big performer in the playoffs, that they would say after the year, you got yourself into like the $35 million range, so we're good. We're going to walk away. We have no interest.
Even that's different because of the age and the injury history.
But just any player elevating themselves to a level that Parsons is at to say, now they'd walk away. They draft, this year they draft, Landon Jackson feels like a bad example because I feel like there's zero chances.
Go ahead and make T.J. Sanders Chris.
T.J. Sanders.
He's Chris Jones.
Yeah, he's Chris Jones.
You pay him.
He's 15 sacks per year. You think if he became a $40 million player a year, they would say, no, we're good. We're good. Because that's too much for one player. Keon Coleman goes for 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns. And they say, you're too much money. We're going to let you walk. You do that at any position. Yeah. Any player becoming top of their position in the league money-wise, on the Bills, earning that, becoming that. Max Hairston is Sauce Gardner. We think Brandon Bean's going to walk away from that guy?
I don't.
If they had Micah Parsons, we think they would have traded him to Green Bay?
No.
No, they would have paid him.
No, that's right. And, you know, I think that's a common talking point about the cap. And, you know, you gotta do it one of two or three ways. Or a thousand ways, I guess I should say. It's a lot of money to tie up in one position. Right, it's worth it. I think it's worth it. I think a lot of teams would say that is worth it. Not that the Bills could have done it, but... And it's also... Thanks, Dave, for the phone call. It's also a little bit of cheating and a little... Whatever. It's cheating to say, would you rather... And do cap hit or AAV? Which is it? Because if AAV is 47, okay, which is cap hit this year? 10?
Right.
Is he going to have the same cap hit as Curtis Samuel? You know?
Right, for this year.
Right. And... The way the cap works...
His estimated cap hit this year, I saw, is 20, by the way. But,
okay.
But still, it's still less than half of what his AAV is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, if you're looking at SpotTrack, that's because that's what his cap hit was for the trade. So they'll do the deal, and we'll get the numbers on that. A team that was going to inherit him in a trade was going to have $21 million on the cap. So now they knocked that number down to 11.
Okay, like that might have confused, because they labeled it as estimate, so I didn't know what that meant. Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny, like we can always have conversations and arguments about the cap, and GMs do have to... work under the cap, but it's I want to say long been my belief, but I'm kind of arriving there more and more. This offseason, we had Mike Gennetti of Spotrek on, and we talked about how the Eagles do it differently than anybody else. Here's a good example. I was looking at the at Spotrek at multi-year cap. How many dollars do you have in your future cap? And just think about it. You can think about it a lot of different ways. Multi-year cap. And the Bills are high on this list because they've just signed a bunch of extensions. In the year 2030, the Eagles have $145 million committed. That is 2030, the Eagles have $145 million committed. Half the league has $0 committed. Zero.
Nothing.
The Patriots don't even have dollars committed in 2029.
Yeah.
Neither do the Titans. The Falcons have $5 million in 2029. Just to be $145 million for the Eagles committed in 2030.
Yeah.
That is 5 years away. If you want to sign Micah Parsons, that's void years. A lot of things hit. I don't understand the cap on the level that people that run the cap do. But what I feel like I do understand, and feeling like you understand something and being wrong on it is common, so maybe I'm wrong, is just that you want a great player, you can have a great player. You're always going to be able to fit a great player. And sometimes that means cutting B-level guys and C-level guys and eating dead cap. Listen, the Bills have a lot of good players. If you wanted to piece together $25 million in cap space and say, I'd rather have Micah Parsons than those three guys, it's not hard to do. Most teams, you'd be able to go back in time in hindsight and say, I would do that. What's better to have? Whatever. We don't have to pick all the guys. We don't have to do that. I just think that the fear of paying a great player too much, you don't want to pay middle guys too much. But you do want to pay great guys too much. And that's what Parsons is. What's the stat? Parsons could not have a pressure on his next 1,000 pressures, and he would lead the league in pressure rate of the last 4 years. What you don't want to do is pay Rousseau that money. You want to pay Rousseau what he's getting paid. He's in the middle, right? He's pretty good.
Yep.
You don't want to overpay for guys that aren't as good as Parsons. You don't want to pay $57 million for Tua. You do want to pay $57 million for Josh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to pay $38 million for pick a receiver that's not as good as the rest that got that money. I mean, whatever. The passage time, money goes up. It's all woven in there. But $145 million for the Eagles in 2030 and a team like the Chargers have $0 in 2030. Chargers, Cowboys, Bucks, Panthers, Vikings, Patriots, Cardinals, Saints, Titans, Commanders, Bears, Colts, Raiders, Falcons, Giants. $0 committed in 2030.
Right.
Eagles, 145. The Bills are third on the list with $89 million.
Right.
So I like to point it out a lot. The Eagles operate in a different world, and more and more teams should be operating in their world.
Yeah.
They have a lot of liquid cash. They feel very confident where the cap is going, how flexible it'll be. And if they win 3 to 4 Super Bowls, they've already got two in the last however many years, but they've got one. They pay everybody on their offense. They have top-paid receivers, top-paid running back, top-paid quarterback, top-paid offensive lineman, top-paid tight end.
Well, and part of, again, like part of their one thing they got paid off on, and they ended up paying the guy, but one thing I think when you're paying a Micah Parsons $47 million that you are now going to be challenged to do is, okay, you've got this other on top of your quarterback. You're paying all this money to one guy. So there are a couple more roles on your team that you're going to have to, as a general manager, skillfully figure out how to fill that spot without much of an asset, without much of a draft pick, or without much money involved. And like, what did the Eagles do last year? You mentioned they pay all that money on offense. Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson and A.J. Brown and Barkley and Dallas Goedert's got $10 million per year. Everybody's paid on that offense. So what do they have to do? Let's throw $1 million at Zach Bond, who's like a special teams linebacker who started a little bit in the league. Let's just go throw a token contract at him, and we're going to play him. Because we just gotta, nickel and dime it on defense. And that's an extreme example because he became an all pro, right? But that's what you gotta do. sometimes. They don't even get to him if they go pay another guy $7 million. I mean, right now, the contracts you don't want to have are Curtis Samuel being a $9 million cap hit on your team when if I don't have a middle road guy like that, I can just go do what? Shavers at $900,000 or Elijah Moore at $2 million this year? Like, I'd rather do that. Yeah. Go take your shots at those cheap guys and at those mid-round draft picks to fill in those gaps. And I think if you have the elite player making $45 million, that is a way you can win with holes on your roster.
803-0550. Steven tweets in. We'll get some calls on the other side. We're wide open on this Friday. Steven tweets in. I'd argue the Bills would never pay a guy $40 million in 2025 if they drafted him because they'd sign that person early enough where it wouldn't cost them that much. It seems to be Bean's MO. And that is true. However, however, we've not seen them have to pay this guy's the best in the sport other than Josh. And what do they do? They paid him early because it's good to pay early, but they put him at the top of the league.
What would they do with Parsons? Like they would have paid him. You're saying they would have paid him a year ago?
Yes, I'm saying if you want to say they wouldn't pay a guy $40 million, that's kind of an arbitrary number you kind of pick out of thin air. The question is, Bean wants to get a deal done with Max Hairston or TJ Sanders in 3 years because he's become the best in the sport. That's not the same as a Bernard or a Shakir or a Rousseau contract. He's the best defensive tackle in the sport. We got to pay him number one money. Are we going to pay that? And you save because you get out ahead of it. Like the Cowboys could have saved on Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Parsons by paying them market rate, which would have still been near the top of the league, but just done it a year earlier or 2 years earlier. That's the point that's made about the Cowboys a lot. Like, you don't want to pay Parsons $40 million right now. If you paid him $40 million 2 years ago, he'd be under contract for 5 years, and you'd be fine. The savings comes in signing before the cap goes up another year, and the market continues to explode on every one of these positions. So, thanks, Dave, for the phone call. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get a call on the other side. The trade that made you the most mad, and you know we're talking about the Parsons thing. I don't think anybody thinks the Bills could have slash should have done this unless things were a lot different, and you'd have to have things be a lot different leading up to the moment Parsons gets traded, and I'm not sure anyone should have really expected that. 803-0550, wide open phone lines, and if you're on hold, we'll get to you on the other side here on WGR.
My understanding is over the course of the past 3 or 4 days, the Cowboys engaged with the Packers. They struck a deal about 2 days ago. And then in secrecy, the Green Bay Packers and David Mulugeta, who's Micah Parsons' agent, who the Cowboys did not negotiate with, struck this deal. Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer.
Ian Rappaport on the deal yesterday. His tweet, "This is real, not a drill." You had to do the whole, hold on, am I getting fake accounted here? Micah Parsons to the Packers. Season's upon us. Listen, we got so much college football this weekend.
Oh, man.
Great
games, too. Yeah.
And then by Thursday, you know, Thursday night football, Friday night football, full slate Sunday, Monday, and we're back. Like, it's here. It's
and
awesome.
It's like every day. So there's games tonight. They're not ranked opponents, but you've got Power 5 teams playing tonight. And then tomorrow, Ohio State-Texas is like the biggest opening game ever. And you've got LSU and Clemson. Sunday night is Miami and Notre Dame. So you have a great college game on Sunday night. I think there's even a game on Monday night. Belichick, North Carolina versus TCU is Monday night. And then you've just got Tuesday, Wednesday to get you to the Thursday game. And then your Friday NFL next week. Just every day for like the next week, except for next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Get to calls in a moment here.
Did you see what number Parsons might wear?
No.
Because 11's taken.
Who's got that? Jaden Reed?
Jaden Reed. So maybe he buys it from Jaden Reed or they figure something out.
I feel like Jaden Reed is actually good enough to keep it.
There's not a ton available, but what it was pointed out that what he might pick, his high school number and the number that he wore, I think, for his first year in college is available, and that is number 23. How would you feel about Micah Parsons wearing number 23?
The old Micah Hyde number? Did he wear 23 in Green Bay?
An edge rusher wearing 23.
Not a fan.
No?
No, I don't want that.
Is it better than Matthew Golden wearing 22?
It is. Is Golden going to change?
I don't know.
He could, now the camp's over. Right, look at the roster. What numbers are available for Parsons?
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, and 6 are available.
All better.
Did he wear... I feel like I've seen...
He wore 11...
At Penn State. He wore 11.
Did he wear number 1?
I thought he wore 11, but you might be right. I thought a Penn State pass rusher wore 6 recently.
He wore 11 at Penn State.
I would put 9 on Parsons before I put 23 on it. 9's available.
9.
Yes. Or if he wants to get... I mean, Vaughn wore 40.
If he wants to go linebacker, high,
is he a linebacker?
That's a good question.
The Packers have all the 40s available. And if you want to go all the way up to like the 90s, 97, yeah. 98. Anyway,
all right.
We'll get some calls in. AJ and Raleigh. Hey, AJ, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. AJ, what's up?
You know, I'm not mad, Jeremy. I'm just extremely disappointed in you. You know, like, if you were playing golf with a professional, would you go, quote, hit some golf balls?
Well, you know what? He's talking to, AJ's talking about how in 2011 I shared a stage with Sonya the Black Widow Thomas and with Joey Chestnut, and I only put down 0.85 pounds of wings to finish 13th in the nation. I thought of trying to make this analogy to Joe when he was making fun of me, and I thought, if I was playing in a long drive contest with Bryson DeChambeau, and you're like, well, how far did you hit it? Like, I don't know. I just whacked the ball. I don't remember the number because I was not in the competition, really. I was just on the range with him. So,
but yeah. You play to win the game.
I mean, nah.
Where it said.
I know.
I just
you play to win.
I equate this to the level of like Howard with the fruit.
Okay.
Oh, all right, wow.
Well, listen, can I plead? I was a much more immature version of myself. If I got another run at it, I might eat like 12 wings.
And I did the average, and you ate about 12 wings.
Okay, I ate a dozen wings in 12 minutes. Come on.
Not a great effort. That's you had lunch.
Yes,
that's what it feels like. You did, like, you had an opportunity, like, oh, free lunch
in the 2011
12 wings.
Wing Fest Championship. They provided me with 12 wings that I ate on the stage.
How many wings were on the plate?
Oh, it was a tray. Like, they gave me a tray the same way they gave Joey,
like 100 wings.
However many are in a tray. Yeah, they would have weighed the tray.
Yeah,
and then I ate 12, and then they weighed the tray.
So wait, was there a visual? I wonder if there's a photo of, like,
I have pictures. I have pictures from
this event. And is there like a table where like everyone else's plates are like empty or almost empty, and it's like yours looks like it hasn't been touched?
I mean, maybe.
Brutal.
Dan in New Jersey. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's up, boys?
How are you?
Friday. Good. I wanted Parsons. I won't lie. My whole thing, I know it would have been tough to do. I think the entire situation is a little bit of an indictment on Brandon Bean, because we're sitting here talking about, you might say, okay, it would have been really tough to fit him under the cap. So we have no cap room, but we have question marks at defensive back. We're all worried about safety and cornerback. I'm worried about the receiver room. We've got a kicker who I'm worried about. Like, we have all these question marks, and yet we keep hearing, okay, so we have no cap room. So maybe we couldn't have done Parsons. Maybe we couldn't have done Metcalf, which is what I really would have liked to see. I think my question is why? Like, why are we so tight, and yet we still have so many questions that I'm personally concerned about?
Yeah.
So anyways, happy Friday, boys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Dan. I think it's a fair question. It's the kind of thing where, you know, a week before the season where we think the Bills could very well win the Super Bowl, and, you know, if you do that, everything you did worked out. But, you know, this question, why are they always up against the cap, is fine to ask. They do draft and develop and sign their own. This offseason was about signing your own. And I don't want this to sound like it's too negative, but I do like to point this out sometimes, Joe. Eyes on the prize. GMs love to say draft, develop, and sign your own. Mm-hmm. And that's great. It means you've made good draft picks. If you sign a guy, it means the pick was good. Mm-hmm. And as a GM, when your picks are good, you look good. But draft, develop, and sign your own, that's not the actual scoreboard. That's not the banners. That doesn't matter? Right. Sure. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl. Did they draft and develop and sign their own? Some of them. And some of them were A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley. And right. some of them were it kind of doesn't really matter. If the Bills win the Super Bowl because Michael Hoyt and Joey Bosa make huge plays and because who else is not from this team?
Eddie Pinheiro makes a kick.
Right. No one goes back in time and asks, oh, man, was it one of your own that won the Super Bowl?
Ty Johnson makes a big play or something. There's not many guys on offense. Yeah, how about Josh Palmer?
Josh Palmer goes for 120 yards. And Curtis Samuel are keys to unlocking the offense. Oh, they weren't drafted and developed and signed their own. They're free agent signings. Mm-hmm. Like the 13 seconds team that you all think should have won the Super Bowl. That's Diggs and Beasley and Brown. And that's not signed, developed,
Sanders,
your own.
But yeah, but same thing.
Sorry. Sanders and whoever's on the offensive line. So – again, it's not to say that it's bad. It is good to draft and develop and sign your own. You want to have a spot where you think, like, all right, not everybody. And they did let Gabe walk, right? They didn't draft. They draft, develop, and didn't sign Gabe. They draft, develop, and didn't sign Tremaine Edmonds and along the way. So I feel like what you're saying, you know, you wonder how can you be so tight to the cap and not have maybe more elite players? And the answer is the Bills have a lot of really good players. They've been out in front of it. They've wanted to sign guys. They do have questions at safety, at corner, at defensive line, but they have potential answers at those spots too. We kind of have to wait to see how it plays out this year. But I don't think the point you make is unfair to make. And I, you know, who has the most players drafted on their own roster? Every once in a while, that stat gets floated, and I think that's
I saw it the other day about Tampa. Tampa's number one in the league by like 15%. Yeah, I think the Bills are like
two, and I think Cincinnati is three.
Yeah.
And like, there are some good teams near the top. It's good to have good draft picks, but it's also good to just have the best players. And right. not to say in any way that, like, Bean is confused about that. You know, you take your wins where you take your wins. But yeah, I sometimes get keyed up on that, like, oh, congratulations on this team, whoever it is, having so many of their picks there.
It's great. Also very different from, like, are we done with the sunglasses meme? That's fine.
Definitely,
like,
what is sunglasses?
That is, I'm going and doing the big thing. That is, I'm big baller Bean, right?
Uh-huh.
And draft, develop your own, good players at every position. Nah, I don't want to spend $45 million on a superstar player if they had the opportunity to do that. That's not sunglasses. That's the opposite. So, which is it? Because I believe that that is still in there. I believe that if Micah Parsons had become available next February, that the Bills would have been desperate to get him.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
But there's a lot of sentiment in the last 12 hours of, oh, no, they would never want a player that costs that much. I don't believe that at all. And if you believe that, then don't use the sunglasses meme anymore.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. Give us a ring. We've got more time to talk with you. Not a lot of call. No guests today. Just, you know, hanging out here on a Friday, a pre-fall Friday. Good weekend of college football on the way.
It is chilly today. It got down to 48 last night.
All right. I like that. I don't mind that. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Contest time again. Caller 5 to 221-4WGR. Caller 5. We'll win a pair of tickets to see the Deftones. That's going to be at KeyBank Center. Deftones with special guests, Fantogram and the Barbarians of California. KeyBank Center, September 1st. Courtesy of Live Nation, tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Yeah. There you go, caller 5. What? What's going on? Yesterday we talked about the giant spider in a shoe in my backyard.
Yeah, where's the spider at?
Have not seen that spider.
Not since?
No.
Wow. Don't. So he's just out and about somewhere.
Well,
he was in the yard, though, right?
I don't know. The shoe's on the porch. The spider could be really deep inside the shoe. I'm not about to, like, lift up the tongue to see if this fishing spider, we think it's a dark fishing spider.
Oh, you think it's hidden inside the
shoe? I
mean,
he could be all the way back. You know, I kind of cozied up there. I'm waiting to see him. I've not received a report. Maybe he moved on.
You've not worn the shoe?
No.
Would you wear the shoes again?
If we get the spider out of there?
No. What if the spider never appears?
Well, I mean, I would clean it out. Yeah, I don't think I'm that scared of.
I mean, I feel like spiders can hide anywhere.
This spider is so big, I could not fit my foot in it.
Yeah, but they can.
Where's it gonna
hide into any little thing?
You're saying he's gonna hide in later
spaces that are smaller than he is. Yes,
inside of the shoe.
Yeah,
I think you are underestimating the size of this spider. This
no,
spider.
I think you're underestimating the ability of a spider to hide.
This
no matter
spider
how big.
Is the body is the size. It's bigger than a golf ball.
Right.
That's going to hide in my shoe?
Not, the body's not a golf ball.
I think it's about the size of a golf ball.
That's insane. It's big, but come on. A golf ball?
I think so.
There's no
she
chance.
She sent a picture looked like the size of a golf ball.
No chance.
All right.
Not even a ping pong ball, I bet.
How much bigger is a ping pong ball than a golf ball?
No, a ping pong ball is smaller than a golf ball.
Right, that's what I mean. How much?
Probably a good amount, right?
I don't know.
No? Am I wrong on that?
Zach in West Seneca before the break. What's up, Zach?
Hey, about trades, just got a couple things I want to hit. The Sabres' recent trades in hindsight kind of make me sick. I understand them all in the moment, and they are what they are, and we don't have to relive them. But when I think about trades, I think about those, and obviously, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs the last couple of years are a constant reminder of that. But and then the Bills, the biggest one, I'm 35, biggest one in my lifetime was – the Sammy Watkins one kind of hurt for me because I thought like we were going backwards in the moment. I was leery of McDermott early on being a defensive coach. And then here we are trading one of our better players. At that time, we had signed Anquan Boldin. I'm like, what are we doing here? We had Mike Tolbert in the backfield backing up Shea. It's like,
Mike Tolbert.
It's like they had a whole bunch of like older vets filling out the roster. You know, it's just like everything about it seemed gross. And it just kind of seemed like an admission of failure. They traded up to four to get him. But that's like probably the most recent one. All the other ones, you know, never really rated for me. The Jason Peters one kind of stunk, but they did get Eric Wood back out of that, which was obviously turned out good.
Yep.
The Micah Parsons thing real quick, I just want to say, like, if they'd have done it, dude, we'd be waking up today being like, how do we not, you know, close this out? But the one thing I'll say is I would be leery if he had a Vaughn-type injury halfway through the season, and now we committed, you know, free agency dollars and draft capital to him. It would, I mean, now you're talking, you gave that up into Allen's 31, 2, 3 seasons. Like, that would have been the biggest risk for me in doing that.
Sure.
But now, it wouldn't have held me back, but it would have weighed on me.
Right. I mean, that's true of anybody you're going to invest a lot in. He's 26, so he's a good 7 years younger than Vaughn was when he came here. Is it 7 or 6 years younger? Was Vaughn 32?
Vaughn was 34.
Okay, so he's 8 years younger.
He's 8 years younger. And yeah, I mean, risk, worried about what? They would risk doing what?
He's saying if you spend all that capital to get a guy then not on the field, like,
then you can't keep who? Kincaid? Is that why we're worried? We can't have Micah Parsons because we can't pay Dalton Kincaid in 2 years.
No, I think he's not even saying that. He's saying that the idea is I spend all these assets and then one injury takes the player out. So like I my return is nothing. I know that's what you're basically saying is if I have five assets, the odds that all five of them get hurt is much lower than all my eggs in one basket. So like I get it. He didn't say it would like deter him from doing it. It would make you nervous because wow, we really put a lot into this. I hope he stays healthy. He's been healthy.
I just think you could do that with any player that doesn't have an injury history at any position. Right? He doesn't have Joey Bosa's history.
No.
If he had Joey Bosa's history, then I would be more willing to listen to that. Or, you know, that's why the Dolphins don't do it with Tua. You got buildup of injuries, then yes, big risk. Vaughn, people don't remember this. Vaughn, that was a thing with Vaughn. Vaughn had injuries. Not right the year before, but he had a torn ACL in his past. He had missed games, I think, 2 years before that. I don't think that was a knee injury like he ended up having. But Vaughn was older and had injuries. He missed the whole 2020 season with an ankle injury. So that's not what Parsons would be. Vaughn already had a risk.
Yeah, I think the caller's point is even without an injury history, it would be kind of scary.
Right.
803-0550. More of your calls when we return on Parsons and on the trade that made you the maddest, if you want to join that. We're also going to check in on the chat because there's a fantasy football question I'm more than happy to dig into today. I have six drafts next week.
Six. 6 in 1 week.
6 in 4 days, yeah. All right, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.